This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD, online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
Thank you very much. That's right, I am Christine James. Good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. It's the primary race for the Democrats running for Norfolk County Sheriff. Patrick McDermott, James Coughlin are in studio. Bill Phelan was invited. He hasn't arrived yet, but we're hoping that he does get here. The winner will face Jerry McDermott, the Republican incumbent, in the November election. Now, I'm joined tonight by Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi. Good evening, Kevin.
Hello.
And reporter Charles Mathewson asking questions with me. And timing you all is our own Amy Leonard, and we're joined by media partner Quincy Community Access Television. Thanks so much. And Larry Nelson, of course, engineering. Our format is simple. If you're a regular listener to WATD, you know, we always use the same format. We've asked the candidates to have opening and closing statements prepared. Opening statements are no longer than 2 minutes. Closing statements are no longer than 1 minute. Then we have a round of questions from the reporters. We ask that you keep your answers to 1 minute. And then we have our favorite part of the entertainment tonight, and that's the lightning round. The lightning round is where the answers are either yes or no, and that's yes or no without a long explanation or soliloquy or commentary, or two sentences tops. And we always say that because we know no one running for office can do that. So that's your biggest entertainment portion of tonight's show. Also, as we said, please try to keep your answers to 1 minute. If you consistently go over, ramble, or start to repeat yourself, then you get the bell. And as we showed our candidates earlier, green means go, red means stop, yellow means you have 10 seconds, and we really do try to stick to the timed format to make people get to the point. This is live. This will also be posted on our website so people can listen again, and selected cuts of this will run in tomorrow's Morning Drive news section here on WATD. Now, just moments ago, we chose the opening and closing order out of the official WATD stand-in newsroom koozie. We're going to start with Pat McDermott, then go to Jim Coughlin, and hopefully Bill Phelan will show up by that time. So let's begin now with opening statements and say good evening and welcome to Pat McDermott.
So good evening to the WATD, QATV, and all the listeners. I appreciate the opportunity to come and discuss my candidacy for Norfolk County Sheriff. Like I said, my name is Patrick McDermott. I am from the city of Quincy, where I live with my wife, attorney Tracy Wilson, my two children, Alana and Adam, both teenagers. I'm a graduate of St. Paul's Choir School in Cambridge, Boston College High School, Boston College, where I got my degree in political science and speech communications, and Suffolk University Law School. After college, I got involved locally in civics, became president of my neighborhood association. I then became a legislative aide at the State House, first for Representative Mike Bellotti, who went on to become sheriff, and then Senator Morrissey, who then became on the district attorney for Norfolk County. I went on to run for city council in Quincy from Ward 3, where I served for 3 terms on the city council. I also worked at the time for then the late Register of Deeds, Paul Harold, over at the Registry of Deeds. It was in 2002 that I had the opportunity to run for Register of Probate for Norfolk County. I ran on a platform of access to justice issues. I was successful in that race, and for the last 18 years, I have served the people in Norfolk County in that position. Why am I running for sheriff at this stage of the game? I believe that the sheriff can be to have a more robust role in the area of public safety in Norfolk County. I believe that we have to look at prevention, intervention, education, and hope for those inmates that are utilizing the Norfolk County Correctional Facility. I think we have an opportunity to really impact lives through programs at the Norfolk County facility. I think we need to expand the role of the sheriff into all realms of public safety. I think we need to be in each and every community, making sure that our partnership with our nonprofit community, our faith-based community is strong, and certainly our law enforcement community. So I look forward to sharing my vision tonight with you and the audience, and I thank you for having me tonight.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement with Patrick McDermott. Now we're going to go to James Coughlin. Good evening.
Thank you so much to WATD for having me tonight. My name is Jimmy Coughlin. I'm excited to be here. I'm a candidate for Norfolk County Sheriff. I'm proud to be a lifelong Democrat and a resident of Dedham. If there's one thing I hope you'll take away from tonight's discussion, it's that I am the only candidate with law enforcement experience. And as the only public safety professional, I will bring a unique set of skills and approach to Norfolk County Sheriff's Department. I've served on the Massachusetts State Police for 29 years. I saw firsthand what works and what doesn't work in the criminal justice system. Prior to getting onto the state police, I'm a graduate of UMass Amherst, and I went on to receive my master's in criminal justice from Anna Maria College. As sheriff, my top priority is the health and safety of our community. What does that mean? That means increasing access to addiction treatment, recovery program, and mental health services for nonviolent drug offenders. It means initiating education and community programs that engage our youth, prevent crime, and reduce recidivism. It means making the department more effective by getting rid of political hires and professionalizing the department. I have never been a politician. I intend to professionalize the Norfolk County Department of Corrections. We don't need political hires. We need more addiction and recovery specialists and reentry staff, not politically connected appointees with no public safety experience. Also, as sheriff, it means treating everyone with dignity and respect that they deserve, from standing up for our corrections officers and prioritizing their safety to ensuring that inmates are in an environment where we are focused on their rehabilitation and giving them the skills they need to get their life back on the right path. And as sheriff, I'll use the office to advocate for important criminal justice reform measures. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Jim Coughlin. Now we're going to go to questions. Bill Phelan was invited. He did confirm, but we haven't seen him yet. Hopefully he'll show up a little bit later on in this forum. So let's start with questions from our panelists, and let's begin now with Mr. Tachi.
Okay. Thank you, Christine. My first question is the sheriff, first and foremost, needs not only to be a consummate professional, but a good manager, someone with a vision for the future of the sheriff's department. Tell our audience, tell us why you are at least the best choice as far as the Democrats go. And we can start with Mr. Coughlin.
Well, as I said in my opening statement, I believe I'm the most qualified person for this position. I'm not a politician. I've never been one. I spent 29 years on the state police. I retired as a detective captain. I held many supervisory and managerial positions on that job. I understand what the criminal justice system is. I'm familiar with the courts. I'm familiar with probation, parole. I have credibility with the local law enforcement agencies. I could sit down with any chief of police in Norfolk County and have credibility. They won't be looking at me as somebody who is an elected person who has no background in law enforcement. I want to professionalize and give the training to the correction officers in the jail.
Same question, Pat.
Yeah, so my background, I'm an attorney. I'm also, for the last 18 years, I've managed a courthouse at the Norfolk Probate and Family Court. So the issue comes down to the role of the sheriff. The sheriff is not necessarily a law enforcement role. It's more of a public safety role. And the sheriff's role is to be a chief administrator for the Norfolk County facility. I have a demonstrated track record in budgeting, human resources, dealing with local officials, having been a former elected official in Quincy. I was on the public safety committee. Back in the day, we enhanced public safety through community policing in Quincy. But it's budgeting, it's human resources. We need to have a proven manager. I'm a former prosecutor as well, so I certainly know the criminal justice system from the perspective of a prosecutor. I know what we need to do at the jail. We need to reduce recidivism. That's the number one goal. That's my role for the next 2 years and the next, hopefully, 6 years after that, the reduction of recidivism. We have a plan to do that, and that's what I'm going to focus on.
Thank you very much. That was Pat McDermott. Let's go to Charles Mathewson. Questions for the candidates?
I'm going to double dip a little bit here. Sorry, Mr. Tachi. I have two questions related to mental health. First, the county jail, anywhere in the state, are the largest detox centers. What would you do with people addicted to opiates and other drugs? Start with you, Pat.
Yeah, I mean, this is a chronic issue that we've been dealing with for many, many years. Obviously, the opioid problem, mental health issues, this is a crisis in the jails. And it's a shame that the jails have to serve as the largest detox in the Commonwealth, basically. We need more beds. We need advocates that are going to push for more beds. We need to not send people to the jail for drugs and alcohol problems. We really need more advocacy with the nonprofit sector, places like the Gavin House in Boston. There are so many opportunities to do that. As sheriff, I want to advocate for that. Sheriff Bellotti actually did a great job in partnering up with some of the nonprofit groups to create more beds and send more inmates to those nonprofit facilities to actually help those nonviolent offenders that are actually just having more problems with themselves and not necessarily with violence against members of their community. So we need to expand beds. We need to expand those resources. I have the background and the talent to be able to do that.
Jimmy Coughlin, what do you do with the addicts in the jail?
Well, first off, I believe in the MAP program, medication-assisted treatment program. Currently, the current Sheriff McDermott has that. He is doing that. I agree with that. That needs to continue. More importantly, I want to have, I'm more based on the reentry. So bottom line, when we need more Norfolk County correction officers assigned to probation and parole. When somebody gets arrested, they're brought into court in front of the judge. We need to sit down with them, interview them, and tell them and let them know how important it is not to sit in the Norfolk County Jail for 90 days, but to get into a treatment program. The sheriff can recommend to the courts that somebody be put into a treatment program. That's what has to happen right away with those addicted to with substance use disorder. As sheriff, that's what has to take place. It's not about keeping these people, nonviolent criminal offenders, locked up when they have substance use disorders. We need to treat them.
Okay.
Follow-up to that, deinstitutionalization closed our big public psychiatric hospitals, but the promised community mental health clinics never materialized or appeared. What will you do about the homeless and the mental health challenges they bring to the jail?
Yeah, and these are chronic issues of you know, homelessness, economic security, job skills development. All these things focus on a bigger, broader problem of public safety. And when we have chronic homelessness, people that are unable to maintain a job, who don't have the education, we need to focus on those folks. We have an opportunity at the sheriff's office to work with inmates when they come to our facility, to give them mental health counseling, to give them the job skills they need. But we only have a very short opportunity, a very short window. The average inmate is sentenced there about 45 days. The reentry component, having partnerships on the ground outside of the jail, is big. And also the diversion programs prior to them getting into the jail. I've worked on specialty courts, making sure mental health courts are invested in, drug courts are invested in, that our partnerships with the court system allow offenders to find better opportunities rather than go to jail. If they end up in jail, we will give them the services there for the short time they are there, but key is the reentry component, and I'll invest in that heavily.
Jimmy Coughlin, what about homelessness in the jail?
Well, they shouldn't be there in the first place. I mean, you, as a sheriff, you have people who are sentenced to the jail for 2.5 years or less, and when they come in, you classify them and you see what their issues are. If it's mental illness or substance use, you get them into the programs right away. As the sheriff, you need to advocate with the nonprofits and the shelters out there. You have to work with the legislature and say, these homeless people shouldn't be in these jails. I will advocate that. I will work with the reps and senators to try and make sure that you know, they shouldn't be in the jail. We need to advocate that they need to be outside of the prison, and it's really not such a thing that in the sheriff. The sheriff's main priority is he has to house those who are sentenced. But then what we need to do is the reentry programs and help them when they leave the jail. We have to be more involved, and so that homeless is part of that. So we have to help them. We have to have people assigned to them, track them, people who are going to insist them.
Thank you. You're listening. Thank you. You're listening to WATD Political Forum. The race is for the Norfolk County Sheriff. These are the Democrats. Two of the three are here. We've got Pat McDermott and Jim Coughlin, and hopefully Bill Phelan will be here since he did confirm that he was coming. Okay, I'd like to ask you gentlemen both a question. The current Norfolk County Sheriff is flying the thin blue line American flag at the Dedham Jail. Is this something you will continue to do when you're elected sheriff? Jim Coughlin.
I would not take that thin blue line flag down. I would follow Mass General Law in regards to flying the flag of the Commonwealth, the American flag, and the prisoner of war flag, which states, the law states that you fly that in front of an administration building. The current sheriff decided that he was going to place a memorial in memory of a law enforcement officer who made the ultimate sacrifice and gave his life for our Commonwealth. I spent 29 years on the Massachusetts State Police. There's only one group of people, and that's Sergeant Chesna's family, who has the right to decide if that flag is there or not. If I were elected sheriff, I wouldn't dare touch that flag if that was the wishes of Sergeant Chesna's family.
Okay. Same question, Pat McDermott.
So I respect Jimmy Coughlin's service as a state police officer, and I have a brother who's a Quincy police officer who gives his wife and three kids a hug every night that he leaves to go to work, and not sure if he's going to come home. I've had the opportunity to have just a week ago or so a dinner with the Chesna family. I believe that the thin blue line flag is symbolic of everything that's great about our law enforcement community. And we need to respect it. And it is an opportunity to reflect and recognize when an officer like Sergeant Chesna tragically loses his life in the line of duty. So I think that as a public safety official, as we've done for veterans and as we've done for law enforcement professionals or corrections officers who have lost their life in the line of duty, that flag is a symbol of what they stood for. And therefore, I would definitely fly it under those circumstances when a law enforcement or a corrections officer official were to go down in the line of duty.
Okay, thank you very much. Kevin Tachi, question for the candidates.
We'll start with you, Pat. Do you know what the recidivism rate is in Norfolk County Correctional Facility and where it ranks among other county jails in the state? What needs to be done, whether it's programs, to help prisoners once they are released be able to stay free?
Yeah, I don't have the exact number, but unfortunately, you know, and one of the criticisms I've had over the last few years of all the sheriff's departments is that there really aren't any great metrics that are really based upon. There's numbers that have been floating around for years. There's a study from Northeastern University that tried to hit on it a few years ago, but one of the things that's woefully lacking is metrics-based programming. We need to know what works and what doesn't work, and that currently doesn't exist at the sheriff's office. One of the things I want to do first thing as a sheriff is do a stem to stern evaluation of all the programs there to determine what works and what doesn't when it comes to the recidivism rate. We need to get a real number, and that number has to be a partnership with other, not only just other sheriffs, but we have to look at the Department of Correction as well. Folks that are committing crimes not only in Norfolk County, but then come down here to Plymouth County and commit crimes. We need to find out, it's not good enough that the recidivism rate in Norfolk County is low. We need to find out whether or not statewide these men, at least in Norfolk County, are recidivizing going around the state. We need to do better with our programming and with metrics.
Mr. Coughlin, the same question. Recidivism and how do we reduce the rate and have success when it comes to prisoner release?
Yeah, I like Pat, I don't know the exact recidivism rate in Norfolk County. But I do know there's a revolving door with people reoffending. How do you stop people from reoffending? Well, you got to provide them more opportunity and obstacles. And what I mean by that is that you need to have better reentry programs. All the jails have the programs when you first come into the jail. When you're incarcerated, you're classified, and they start you right away based upon that classification into programs. That's all well and good. I will say I support evidence-based programs. You have to have programs that are proven with the statistics. That being said, we need to do more on the outside of the jail. The jail has to be more proactive in the community with the support given to inmates once they leave the correctional facility. And that's job, housing, and medical treatment. Thank you.
Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
What do you see as the relationship between the Sheriff's Department and ICE, Pat?
So, I mean, this has been, for the last few years under the Trump administration, we've seen really ICE become a very caustic environment, cancerous environment, and the way that they've tried to implement programs within our Commonwealth, within our communities. Right now, I am not comfortable working directly with ICE on giving them access to the prisoners, giving access to the jail. One of the things that we have to make sure exists consistently is that any detainer that is actually put forth from the federal government is properly found from a judge, not just an administrative magistrate or just an ICE agent coming and saying they have a detainer. I want to see an actual detainer that is authorized by a federal judge before I'm going to cooperate right now under this administration. I look forward to a new administration coming in November that we can actually have an honest discussion about ICE and our immigration policy, not just in the Commonwealth, but federally throughout the country.
Jimmy Coughlin, the Sheriff's Department and ICE.
Two separate agencies. ICE enforces federal laws, part of them illegal immigration. The sheriff enforces criminal charges based upon somebody in the county. The sheriff should be housing people who are sentenced to criminal offenses within Norfolk County. ICE should be holding their own prisoners. I know sheriffs have gotten involved in holding federal prisoners because the inmate rate, the populations have gone down, and it's a way to generate more revenue. But really, is it a way to generate more revenue? There aren't any real numbers out there stating whether it's a benefit. All that money goes into the general fund. The sheriffs don't see it. So how's a sheriff supposed to know if you're even generating funds? I believe in ICE doing their job and the sheriff of Norfolk County doing his job.
Thank you.
Okay. Both of you gentlemen have held municipal jobs and could easily retire or are retired. Why do you want to run for sheriff? Start with you, Jim.
For me, it's very simple. It's what I've done for 29 years. I was on the state police. I was a public servant. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I'm not a politician. I wouldn't be running for any other political position. I don't think I would be the type of kid who would run for state rep or state senate. I'm running for sheriff because I think I have something to offer the position. I have a background in law enforcement. I've been around every single criminal there is in this state. I've been in every housing project in this state. I understand what a criminal is. I know what a bad, violent criminal is, and I know what a person who is has drug and alcohol and mental illness. Those are the people I want to be involved with. It excites me. Those are the people we can help, especially on a county level where they're sentenced for 2.5 years or less. I want to be involved in that. Those are the people we need to help. And I think I have something to offer the position based upon my 29 years in law enforcement.
And a quick follow-up question. Will this affect your pension in any way?
No, I don't think it will. I don't think it'll increase my pension or anything. I will just get out of it with the pay of sheriff. It won't affect my pension one way or another.
Okay.
I'm not in it to increase my pension. I have no desire to do that. I'm in it to do the job.
Okay. Same question, Pat McDermott. Why would you want to run for this after everything else you've done?
Yeah, I've had an exciting life up until now. I'm 50 years old now, and maybe I'm in the halfway point, hopefully, of my life, I guess. But yeah, you're right. I in political life, I served 3 terms on the Quincy City Council, and I voluntarily stepped aside from that because I'd accomplished what I wanted to accomplish in those 6 years on the City Council. When I ran for, I became an attorney while I was there, and I was looking to open up a practice, which I did at the time, but then became Registrar of Probate because it was a great opportunity to help people and to utilize my skills of advocacy to help people access the court system. After 18 years, I could have run for a 4th term this year very easily without an opponent. So this was a risk of me, a political risk, so to speak. But to me, I like to live a challenge-based lifestyle, and I like to hearken back to my high school model of at BC High as a man for others. Somebody that invests in people, helps people out, and consistently invests in community. So the sheriff's office gives me that opportunity, and I've had many discussions with our folks in the corrections environment, and I look forward to working with them.
Now, quick follow-up, because I asked that to Jim, too. How will this affect your pension?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I've been in the state system now for about 28 years. Never did I imagine that I would be thinking about retirement. So the only way it affects my pension, technically, is that I'd become a member of Group 4. For those folks in law enforcement that know that Group 4 is an opportunity to retire early. But at the end of the day, I don't believe in retirement at all. I'll probably, if I'm elected sheriff, I'll probably serve as many years as I possibly can to accomplish the goal. So retirement and pension really doesn't mean much to me. And in fact, there's a pay cut taking this job.
Okay. So. Thank you. Next question, Kevin Tachi.
Female prisoners are typically not housed in Dedham. Only men is the female prisoners are... I guess, transported to Framingham. If you're elected, is there a chance that you would seek an avenue to offer housing for female prisoners? We'll start with you.
So, yeah, this is something I think is really we need to focus on. I've had the opportunity to speak with the folks at the Norfolk County Jail. And right now, female offenders, actually, there aren't really enough female offenders to actually legitimize from a budget point of view, putting together an entire unit for females. However, it's systematically unfair that they have to be, that Norfolk County females are sent either to Boston or to Framingham. I think we need to find some kind of alternative center for them. From a budgetary point of view, there's all medical issues that have to be dealt with female prisoners, different types of programs that have to be initiated. Certainly there's issues relative to possibly child care issues with female offenders who are mothers. So there's a lot of different issues that we have to deal with. I think my background in the probate court and dealing with families helps that out a little bit. We need a facility for females. And maybe that's a partnership with the Sheriff of Plymouth County as well, because there's just not enough actually offenders to justify a full unit yet, but we owe it to the female population who are offenders to give them the services that we currently have in place for men.
So just a quick follow-up. So what would be your method? Would it be a grant-based type of thing that you'd seek in order to do this, or is it something that hasn't materialized?
Yeah, I tell you, grants are number one. Right now, the budget crisis that we're going to have over the next couple of years is going to be critical. So I invest heavily in partnerships with nonprofits. I've done it in the probate court for the last 18 years. But grant writing is immensely something that we have to invest in to find ways that we can find alternate sources of revenue so that these programs that we put forth, including one for female inmates, gets fully funded.
Mr. Coughlin, same question. Female prisoners in housing.
Yeah, we have to do something about it. As sheriff, I will do something about it. It's discriminatory. There's no way you have a female prisoner shipped off to the oldest state prison and one of the oldest state prison female prisons in the country. It's just not right. It's not fair. So something has to be done about it. I will make sure that something is done about that because that is the right thing to do. I've always advocated that if I became sheriff, I would actively pursue a professional grant writer at the sheriff's department. When we were on the state police, we had grant writers, but they didn't have the training, and there was a lot of grant opportunities that were missed. I believe in grants. I would look at that. We have to come up with a female facility for prisoners in Norfolk County Sheriff's Department. It's not fair to those females' families that they're being sent to MCI Framingham.
If not grants, would you assess your budget to see if there's any funding within it, or is it a matter of going the route of the grants first?
Well, I would look at it. I'd go to DCAM. I'd go anywhere I had to go to try and find a facility where we can house female prisoners. It has to be done. It's about time. Why aren't we doing it? So I would do my best. That would be a priority to get that done.
Okay. Bail reform has become something of an issue in this race. What does it mean to you, Pat McDermott?
So as a former prosecutor, I used to make bail arguments all the time and working with the defense bar to try to come up with what was a reasonable bail. And bail sometimes is misunderstood by the public, and obviously bail is only to secure the offender's appearance in court at the next court hearing. I think far too often zealous prosecutors set a high bail and don't evaluate the actual need of and look at the socioeconomic issues relating to the offender. A lot of these inmates that are going to the Norfolk County Jail that are being held on high bails, or even bails that are modest, can't afford it to get out. So bail reform has to take a real holistic approach, and I think that we can find much better diversion programs. I think we should expand our bracelet program to allow for offenders who are nonviolent offenders to have alternative places than being housed at the jail. Certainly, focusing on that bracelet issue I think is big, to find the alternative programs to bail.
If Mr. Phelan was here, I think he would bring up the issue of race as it relates to bail reform. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a disproportionate, when you look at race, when you look at the African-American population and the minority population, that there's a disproportionate group of people that are being held on higher bail, or at the end of the day, can't afford the bail that's been set for them. We need a thorough analysis. I had a very good conversation with Senator Feeney from Foxborough, and he's a leading member in the Senate to fight for bail reform. I think we're going to see that in the next legislative session, and I think as sheriff, you need somebody with a background in legislative advocacy to push for stuff like bail reform, and we'll be able to bring forth the statistics and the stories from the jail, and certainly my experience as a prosecutor to working in the court system, I certainly can bring that experience to them as well to advocate for better relief in terms of bail reform.
Jimmy Coughlin, what does bail reform mean to you?
Well, bail is a very specific process. There's many factors that are determined in giving somebody bail. You look at the charges, you look at the risk of flight, you look at their previous criminal record, you look at they have a history of defaults. And the only thing bail is for to make sure that somebody, it's not a punishment. Bail is so to make sure somebody comes back and appears in court when they're supposed to. If the system were correct and a bail was applied equally and evenly to all people, you'd come up with the same bail for every person in that same quarter category of factors. Now, where bail reform comes into place is that the argument is that it's people of minorities and people of color have to post a higher bail than non-minorities for the same crimes and the same factors that were the bail was based upon. And if that's the case, yeah, we need bail reform. That's wrong. That is just clear wrong.
Thank you.
You both dealt with the courts, with criminals in different capacities, and probably seen the best and the worst of humanity. I mean, that's what we talk about a lot here. Reporters, firefighters, police officers, they see the best and the worst of humanity. In your time, in your professions, has there been one case or person that you either arrested in court or were responsible for that somehow something about them spoke to you, and you remember that person for whatever reason? I'd like to hear about that.
Oh, I've arrested hundreds upon hundreds of people in 29 years. Do I remember a lot of the faces? Sure, I remember a lot of the faces. Do I remember the names? Not so much. But what I got out of my career in law enforcement is you have two different types of criminal offenders. You have very violent people, and the only way you can promote public safety is you keep them incarcerated. And then there's even more people who have just gone down the wrong path. I've sat in a barracks, somebody arrested at the booking bench, and I look at them and I feel for them, because I'm like, this isn't a bad kid. He's just gone down the wrong path. And that's why I want to be the sheriff, because those nonviolent criminal offenders are the people that I want to help the most. I think I can help them the most. And if we get them the support and the treatment that they need, then they can be successful, and then they won't reoffend. And the buzzword, no more recidivism.
Okay, same question, Pat.
Yeah, early on in my career as a prosecutor, I talked earlier about that zealous prosecution. You know, you buy into to being the prosecutor and being the law and order professional. And I remember a case that I was trying to assist. It was a young black man at Boston Municipal Court who was facing numerous drug charges. It was a drug dealing and drug offenses. And And I wanted to allow him off in personal recognizance. He didn't have any lengthy criminal record. And I remember the judge putting him on like a high bail. And I'll never forget that shackling and him going off to jail that day. It broke my heart to see that. And it wasn't out of my, because I thought personal recognizance would be great. But the other thing is, over 18 years in the family court, I've seen the worst of people, unfortunately, in family law, and I've seen what it does to men in the jail as well. I've worked with prisoners to help them with their family law issues. These are human beings. These are people that are going through struggles in life. I think my experience of compassionate advocacy will give me the leg up on being the next sheriff.
Thank you. Kevin Tachi, questions?
Should the Sheriff's Department evolve beyond its management of the county jail, or just solely focus on the operation and betterment of the facility? Pat?
Sounds like off my website. That's what I've talked about. We definitely need to expand beyond the four walls of the jail, because at the end of the day, the care and custody of inmates is the primary role. But I look at it as a four-pronged approach. And first is corrections, and that's that limited within the four walls of the jail. We have to correct the behavior. We have to focus on rehabilitation. We have to look at ways in which we can rehabilitate an offender and give them the services that they need. The most important part is reentry. You know, reentry is an investment outside of the four walls of the courthouse, working with nonprofits, working with local law enforcement, working with faith-based groups to provide services that you're not just unlocking the door at the end of a person's sentence and just sending them off in a cab back to their community. You need to make sure that they have access to a job, access to housing, access to economic security and education. Those are the investments on the reentry component, and then an investment certainly in community education. We need to educate the public, focus on at-risk youth and at-risk offenders.
Same question, Mr. Coughlin. Focus on the jail or evolve beyond it?
Well, I think your main job is you focus on the jail. Your main priority is the care, custody, control, transportation of inmates. You have to classify them. You have to get them into the treatment program. So, yeah, your major function is within the jail. But as Pat just said, we have to be more involved on the outside with reentry. Reentry programs is what it's all about, creating partnerships with the schools, with the labor unions, with the halfway houses, nonprofits. That's how we reduce recidivism and stop people from reoffending. We also need to support our local police department with any assets we have if they need things like search and rescue or you know, command and control, things like that.
Okay. Jim Coughlin, you just mentioned transportation, and the function of the courts has radically changed recently. Sometimes we talk about the new normal. Do you see more distance relationships with the court from the jail, or will we move entirely back to the courts?
No, I think 'cause I look at purely from a public safety standpoint. If it's safer to have in-house arraignments, you know, people getting arraigned via camera to the courts, and that promotes public safety. So I'm all for that. Am I worried about whether we're going to have to lay people off because we're not transporting people around in vans? No, it's not a concern of mine. I think we can reallocate those people into different roles if we had to. I think I'm all about public safety. Whatever's safety for the correction officer, I will do. And I think having camera arraignments is a good thing.
Pat McDermott.
So I've had a unique opportunity over the last few months to experience what needs to be done in terms of opening courthouses through Zoom and giving access to the court in innovative ways. You know, it's different, though, when we talk about the criminal justice system. I think that, you know, under certain circumstances, you know, whether it's arraignments or certain pretrial matters, there's certain things that can be done by video conferencing or from Zoom. But I really believe in the fundamental aspect of in-person hearings. I think that there's a lot of programs, there's access to professionals within the court system, court psychologists. There's probation officers that are in the court that work with the defense bar and work with the prosecutor to determine what's the best course of action. That lacks the opportunity. I think, obviously, even in this forum here that we're having tonight, this is the first time we've had an in-person forum, and I think it's so much more of a healthier debate. Same thing with the court system. I think that the prisoners, the criminal defendants, they have a right to access the court system, and it shouldn't just be through a computer monitor, absent just a preliminary matter.
Okay. Any follow-up on that?
No.
One of the most contentious issues that we're covering right now is the possibility of police reform here in Massachusetts. That's being discussed on Beacon Hill. Questions about what's okay, what's not okay, qualified immunity, not qualified immunity, what's going to change in policing, what shouldn't change. I'd just be interested, and it's tough to say it in a minute, but what are your thoughts about what's being discussed right now on Beacon Hill when it comes to police reform? Do you think it's something that needs to be looked at? Do you think something needs to be changed? Nothing? I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Pat?
So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of police officers that and chiefs of police who have advocated for years for different reforms that they've pushed for, and sadly and tragically, it takes the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis to resonate throughout the country to call for police reform. And I think there's many things that were submitted in the bill. Now, here's the thing about the process. The process was poorly executed. I think the Senate passing this thing at 4 in the morning was a disgrace. I think it was fairly rushed through the House without any input. And I think now we're realizing how complicated the issue is, because you have the House and the Senate Conference Committee that is still debating as to what is and what is not the best way to reform. We do need certification. I think certification and advanced training for police officers, corrections officers, is fine. We need a degree of qualified immunity. I know too many law enforcement professionals who have said to me that without qualified immunity, there's something in their head that's going to talk about hesitation. And maybe Mr. Coughlin can to speak about hesitating in that split-second interaction with a criminal. And I think that qualified immunity needs to be there.
Thank you. Same question, Jim Coughlin.
I believe, as a former state police officer for 29 years, reform isn't a bad thing. I think there's some good things that they're proposing. Obviously, chokeholds. I was never taught chokeholds in the academy. It's not something we use. It's not something any police officer would use unless they're in a total life or death situation where they are literally fighting for their life, because you're going to do whatever you have to do in that situation. I think accreditation is good. I think these will lead to things that I will put into place at the Norfolk County Sheriff's Office, which is to have the best training you can have. And criminal justice reform in this state will make that happen. I agree with Pat. I didn't like how it went through the Senate. That was ridiculous without any public hearings. And I do support qualified immunity. It's a good thing. We can't have police officers hesitating out there, and we can't open up liability to their wife and kids.
Okay. Mr. Tachi?
I think there was conversation that we've had here in regards to being able to work, besides the correctional facility, working with the communities. Have you had a chance to see what the jail offers for program work, prisoner work programs, such as where you can offer services to communities, whether they need buildings painted, where it's more or less it's work, a work release? What's your understanding, and would you want to utilize this more, expand the program? What's your thoughts, Mr. Coughlin?
My main belief for nonviolent criminal offenders is less incarceration than more incarceration. So I would be all for expanding work release programs, the DAC, the Alternative Center. I think those are all great things for non-violent criminal offenders. Anything to get them outside the jail, put them to work, have them do something useful, have them learn basic skills, anything that would help get them a job when they're released, because the majority of are going to be released in 90 days or less. So I'm all for expanding work release programs, the DAC, the bracelet program, anything that will get them outside of the jail and being more productive.
Now, are you aware of what the jail has currently, or is that something you'll look into if you're elected?
I mean, I've read about what the jail has. They have your basic programs. You have your OSHA training. They do go around. They do have limited work release programs where they go around and paint and cut grass. And I think those are all fantastic things. I would try to increase them, get more people doing that. Let's go have them cleaning up trash and doing things for the towns to save the townspeople some taxpayer money. I think it's a good thing. Keep them productive.
Same question, Pat. Work release programs. What do you know about the programs?
Sheriff Marshall was actually quite the innovator back when he was sheriff in Norfolk County, because he put together some active work release programs, actual work release programs that invested in prisoners getting actual jobs, working in the community for companies and earning money. And I think that's something we need to take a look at, too, because a lot of these prisoners leave the jail without a nickel in their pocket. And I think we need to try to provide them an opportunity to earn some money while they're incarcerated. I've been on nonprofits that have taken advantage of the opportunity to have some of the prisoners come and paint and do plumbing work and electrical work. But one of the things that I bring to the table in this race, I think we need job skill development. We need job opportunities. I have many labor unions that have endorsed my candidacy, and not one business agent who I've approached, and I said, hey, look, if we have a nonviolent offender, somebody that just needs a second chance, would you be able to provide them like an apprenticeship, provided we've screened them appropriately? Would you be willing to take them on after incarceration? I haven't had one business agent say no to me.
But just want to remind people, you're listening to a WATD political forum. The race is for the Norfolk County Sheriff. It's the primary race. The Democrats are here. You got Pat McDermott. We also have Jim Coughlin. We invited Bill Phelan. He did confirm, but he's not here tonight. And we also want to thank QATV for joining us tonight as well. Let's go down to Charles Mathewson. Questions for the candidates.
Should the staff at the jail who interact with the inmates racially reflect the county or the inmates? Jimmy Coughlin.
I think they should absolutely reflect the population of the jail, whatever the population in the Norfolk County House of Correction is. You should have a diverse workforce that represents that.
Same question, Pat McDermott.
Yeah, I generally believe that the employees of the jail, similar to what I've done at the probate court, you know, we've tried to diversify our workforce in the trial court. I had the experience of working and hiring a chief diversity training officer at the trial court level, and we make sure that on the local level and divisions, we make sure that our workforce reflects the community that we represent. And I think that's the important thing. I think it'd be a very challenging and difficult thing to have a full analysis consistently over the population of the jail to reflect the employees there. However, one of the roles that one of the first priorities I will have is to make sure we hire a human resources professional that's trained in diversity hiring and diversity training to make sure that we do reflect our community that we represent. I don't believe that the sheriff's office currently reflects the Norfolk County ethnic makeup. So I think we have to do a better job with that, with different ethnic populations.
If you could just condense your feelings on what your goals would be for people that are serving time in the House of Correction and what their goal would be when they leave the House of Correction. It's hard to make a generalized statement for everybody, but what would your goal be for those people? When you're here, this is what we want to do, and when we release you, this is what we hope you'll do. Pat?
Yeah, that's a tough one for 1 minute, only because there's two different types of prisoners at the jail, too. There's those that are pretrial detainees that are waiting for bigger trials to occur. They could be facing life sentences, so that's a tough population to deal with as well. But for the average inmate that's serving time, the average time served is 45 days. You don't have a lot of time to work with them, so you really got to get them on day one, classification, what services that they need. I think you start planning on reentry on day one. What are their needs? Why did they get in the jail in the first place? Are they addicted to drugs? Are they alcoholics? Are they doing smash and grab? Are they doing petty crimes? What are the reasons why? Is it chronic homelessness? These are all the issues that I think, these systemic issues that we can deal with on day one when the prisoner comes in under our guardianship. And then we create programs to discuss all about reentry, not just about what they're going to do while they're serving time. They need to focus on what they're going to do when they get out: job, education, housing.
Jim, what would be your goal for people when they're there and then when they leave?
My goal would be the same for all of them. You come in, you're classified, and based upon that classification, you get them into the programs they need right away. My goal would be that every individual inmate, by the time he or her is ready to leave the jail, they would have a plan, a specific plan, like a book on everything they're going to do. Every resource they need will be in that book, and they're going to have Norfolk County Sheriff Office employees there to support them with that plan, educate them, say, this is what you need to do. Now, what are you going to be doing when you walk out the door? Who are you going to call? Who's giving you a ride? Where are you going to live? Do you have any family in the area? What are you going to do for a job? Do you have any money to get on a bus? What is your plan? And I want all the inmates to walk out of the jail with a plan, because that will give them a focus and hopefully lead them towards success.
Bet you were a tough father.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm trying to tell you who's going to drive me to a park right now. Okay, let's want to switch over to lightning round now?
Yes.
Let's do that. Lightning round again. When we say lightning, quick, like lightning. Yes or no? Or one or two sentences tops. Reporters will ask you what kind of an answer they want. Let's start with Kevin Tocci.
Should there be a civil service type of test when it comes to hiring for the sheriff's department? Yes or no, and you can give me up to one to two sentences, please.
Okay, let's start with Pat.
Yes, absolutely. I think civil service tests are appropriate. I think they give a good barometer as to how hiring should take place, and
okay.
Should be good.
That's it. Same question. Jim.
Absolutely, yes, because you need to have some sort of a test or some sort of a marker to compare the candidates you want for that position. So
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Charlie.
What's your favorite place in the county just to hang out? Like you could say Ponkapog or World's End.
Okay, let's start with Jim.
That would be Marina Bay in Quincy on my brother's boat.
Okay. Pat?
All right, I'm going to have to go for the second one, but Marina Bay is pretty good. But I'll say up at Granite Links Golf Course. Beautiful vistas, beautiful sunset overlooking the Blue Hills.
Okay, what do you think? Ranked choice voting. A, do you understand it? And B, do you support it? Two sentences. Jim?
Support what?
Ranked choice voting.
Don't even know what it is.
Okay. And Pat McDermott, ranked choice voting.
I know enough about it to be dangerous. I lean towards supporting it, but I really need to get more educated
okay.
on it.
Let's start. Kevin?
Area or program of the Sheriff's Department that could be better monetized or improved that you know of?
Okay, Pat.
Job training.
Jim.
Civil process unit.
Charlie.
One of my favorite questions. What's your favorite bad habit? It has to be a bad habit. It has to be yours.
Okay, and before you answer that, it can't be one of those Eddie Haskell answers that says I spend too much time on my homework and I work too hard. It has to be a real answer. Okay. Sorry, I just had to give that qualifier.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Pat.
Well, I'm planning to write a book called How to be a strategic procrastinator. So procrastination is probably my worst tool, but it goes back to high school.
Lightning. Okay.
Yep.
Jim.
Easy. I repeat myself all the time. I repeat what I say so many times, my friends and family call me Jimmy Three-Pete.
Nice.
I didn't get that. Could you say that again?
Oh, I can tell. I can tell you two more times.
Okay. Ever been arrested? Yes or no?
No.
Okay. Ever been arrested, Pat?
I have not.
Okay. God, I thought I'd get at least one yes out of that one. Another lightning round question?
If you say one positive thing or nice thing about your opponent, what would you say?
Jim?
I think they're both gentlemen.
Okay. Pat?
I credit his service as a police officer.
Okay. Charlie?
What's your regular news source, Jim?
Online, boston.com, bostonherald.com, wcvb.com.
Okay.
Anything online.
Pat?
I'm an old-fashioned newspaper person, but however, I do read them all online, four papers a day, and then I listen religiously to talk radio.
Okay, good. Any other lightning round questions, gentlemen? Okay. Let's go to our closing statements. Remember, these are 1 minute, and you can say whatever you want, but you will be timed if you felt, sometimes people feel they didn't get to answer a question fully that we asked earlier. It's a good time to squeeze the rest of that in. If not, you know, you can say whatever you want. We switched the order around from the beginning, so this time we're going to go to Jim first and then go to Pat. Your closing statement, Jim Coughlin.
Again, I'd like to thank you all so much for having me here at WATD 95.9 FM. I think I got that right. I'm going to start repeating myself. My name's Jimmy Coughlin. I'm running for sheriff because I believe I have the experience and knowledge to be an effective sheriff. I spent 29 years on the state police. I'm running for this position because I definitely have something to offer. I'm in it for the right reasons. I will bring credibility to this agency. I have the endorsements of MCUFU, the Mass Corrections Federation Officers Union. I'm endorsed by the Mass Police Association. I'm endorsed by the Mass Cop. I'm endorsed by the Superior Officers of the Mass State Police. I'm a public safety professional. If you want a politician in the position of sheriff, I'm not your person. But if you want a public safety professional, I really ask and wish that you would consider voting for me on September 1st. Again, Jim Coughlin, www.coughlin2020.com, and on Facebook, Coughlin2020. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Jim Coughlin. Now, closing statement, Pat McDermott.
Thank you for having us here tonight. My name is Patrick McDermott. I'm hopeful to be your next Norfolk County Sheriff. I think I have proven leadership skills over the last 25-plus years in the public and private sector to bring to the Norfolk County Sheriff's Office. Fortunately for me, I also bring several endorsements to this campaign, but most importantly, the endorsement of the Norfolk County Corrections Officers, as well as the non-uniformed professionals at the jail, the teachers, the nurses, the social workers. My campaign is based on a principle of prevention, intervention, and hope and education. We can provide those services to the inmates of Norfolk County. I have the skill set and the contacts to be able to advocate for those inmates of Norfolk County. And more importantly, we need to expand the role of sheriff beyond the four walls of the jail to make this an expansive role into public safety for the sheriff's office. So my name is Patrick McDermott. I look forward to getting your vote on September 1st or earlier, www.patrickmcdermott.org or on Facebook, Patrick McDermott for Sheriff. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You've been listening to the candidates tonight for the Norfolk County Sheriff. This is in the primary race. We had Patrick McDermott and James Coughlin here. We invited Bill Phelan. He did confirm, but for some reason he's not here tonight. But we did have the other two candidates here. This is all going to be up online tomorrow. You also hear some specific cuts here. Now, always stay tuned to WATD because we will be providing complete primary night coverage of all the races. And this is one of the races that we are covering. We'll bring you the results just as soon as they're in on September 1st. And that's going to be 8 to 10 o'clock. For those of you that have never joined us, we've got some good commentators. My analyst sits in with me. For those of you that don't know John Creed, interesting guy. He was a priest for 14 years, but even better, he was a statistician for the Celtics for 40 years. Ask him about it. He'll show you some of his championship rings. He's really good at calling these races, and he is my numbers guy. So we will be here 8 to 10 on a special condensed version of primary night, since people are not going to be gathering like we have in other years, but we will bring you all the results. And I'm just letting people know that you can check out all of these political races on Election Central on the WATD website. I want to thank Kevin Tachi for sitting in with us tonight, Charles Mathewson as well, Amy Leonard, our timer, Larry Nelson doing engineering, and again, QATV. We always tell people, get out there and vote on September 1st. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD. Good evening.